Welcome to the Care of Souls podcast with Dr. Stuart Scott and Pastor Adam Tyson. Dr. Scott serves as the Executive Director of 180 Ministries and Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University. Pastor Tyson serves as the Senior Pastor of Placer Rita Bible Church and Adjunct Professor at the Master's University as well. Visit 180ministries.org and masters.edu to learn more about their programs and services in biblical counseling. I'm your host, Mark Smith, and we're thankful to bring you this next episode on Care of Souls, in which Stuart and Adam discuss practical and profound principles from Scripture to help you faithfully follow Christ. Today, we have the privilege of hearing from the author of the book, The Excellent Wife, Martha Peace, in which she shares her testimony from chapter 1. Pastor Adam, Dr. Scott, and Carolyn McGuire go back more than a few years with Martha and on her journey in women's ministry. They've seen how the Lord has used her and her book in His church as they point women to Christ and Scripture. Let's listen in as they remember how it all started and how they praise God together.
All right. Well, today we have the joy of hearing from a dear friend in our podcast, the author of The Excellent Wife, Martha Peace. Martha, welcome to the Care of Souls podcast.
Thank you, Adam. I'm glad to be here.
Great to have you in the studio. We have Dr. Scott here as well.
It's good to be here.
And we have Carolyn McGuire, who's the director of our women's ministry and is really involved in counseling at our church as well. Well, we've been enjoying going through The Excellent Wife and the Exemplary Husband, and today we have the opportunity to hear a little bit from Martha about her testimony. So Martha, talk to us just a little bit, and you mention it in your book, but we want to hear a firsthand testimony of what was going on in your life around the time that God brought you to saving faith.
Well, I have a friend way back when who heard my testimony, and she said, "Your testimony is like the taming of the shrew," and it was. More than that.
You were a wild woman.
I was. I was an only child. I was very spoiled. I grew up going to a church that believed that you had to be baptized and take communion every Sunday to be saved.
Uh-oh.
And so when I was 8 years old, I walked down the aisle and got saved. I wasn't any more saved than anybody.
Yeah.
But they told me I was a Christian, and they baptized me, and then I could take communion with everybody else.
All right.
So that didn't last long.
Mm-hmm.
And my background is as a nurse and a nurse educator. Mm-hmm. I worked as a nurse for 13 years, and I ended up my last job. I was teaching nursing at a college,
mm-hmm.
and that was my dream job come true. Well, I had to share an office with another instructor. Her name is Katrina Barnes, and it was a small room. We had two desks, but it was crowded.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know this about her until I got in there, but she was a very strong Christian, and she came in every day talking about the Lord. I didn't know who she was talking about, and I didn't care to know. And then one day—
So at that time, were you thinking you were still a believer, or you
walked
away?
Oh, no. I knew I wasn't
a
Christian.
At that point, you had totally walked away from whatever childhood commitment you had made.
Oh, yeah.
And you were lost.
Right. I was lost.
Okay.
I was an alcoholic by that time in my life. I was an immoral woman by that time. And I was very much a feminist by that time. And I had my education, and I was on a career track. But Katrina one day said, "The Lord Jesus Christ." And when she said that, I knew who she was talking about. And I screamed at her, told her to be quiet. I didn't say it this nicely. And leave me alone. And she was sensitive, and she started crying, and I was glad. And she stopped talking, and she went home, and she got all prayed up and came back the next day talking about the Lord.
Wow.
Mm.
She and I have talked. We're good friends now,
mm-hmm.
but we talked about this recently, and I remember that one way. She remembers it another way. I remember that all she talked about was sin and hell.
Mm.
And she said, that is not true. But I think it was true. She had convinced me that I was a sinner and that I was going to hell. But see, I was too sophisticated and too educated to believe that there was a hell. Mm. So I wasn't sure, but she was dogmatic about hell. Mm-hmm. And so the Lord sent her to me providentially in that office, and it was like being chained to the Apostle Paul.
So you're saying that from her perspective, she was also sharing the good news about Christ's forgiveness, but you're just hearing kind of like the bad news and feeling the weight of conviction about your sin?
Yeah, I wish we had a recording of what she was saying, because we're remembering it two different ways.
Yeah.
Her little church, she went to a Bible church, which I thought was odd. I'd never heard of a Bible church. Now I go to a Bible church. But their little church had prayer meeting on Wednesday nights. Every Wednesday, she would raise her hand to have a prayer request and tell about me. And they begged God to save me.
Yeah.
And that I would have sued that church if I had known they were talking. I was famous in that little church. And it was about a year before the Lord saved me. But at the same time that Katrina was witnessing to me, we had some old friends call us on the phone. Ed was in the Army, Ed Sherwood, and his wife Jackie. He was in the Army in Germany, and we had been college friends. My husband had been a roommate and fraternity brother of his in college. And so Jackie called and said they were back in Atlanta and they wanted to come. They had heard we were living in Peachtree City. They wanted to come visit us. And she said, if we come down on Friday evening, I'll bring ingredients to make pizza. Well, back then, if you wanted to have a pizza, you had to make it yourself.
Yeah.
And so we said, yes, you know, come. And so they came. We had a good time catching up on family and friends. At 9 o'clock, Ed said, oh, by the way, I'm teaching an adult Sunday school class, and this week's lesson is really interesting. And he proceeded to give it. He had memorized it. He didn't have his notes. He didn't have a Bible. He just kept talking. And Sanford and I are rolling our eyes at each other like, this is a nightmare. What?
Like, did you know that they had become Christians?
Well, we had heard that, and my comment was, well, that's too bad. They're not going to be any fun anymore.
And what was the topic of the Sunday school lesson?
Oh, I don't know.
You don't even remember?
The only thing that struck me about what he was talking about and what Katrina was talking about was they really believe what they're saying. That got my attention. And so then the next Friday night, Jackie called and asked if they could come back. And for some reason, I said yes. They came back, and at 9 o'clock, Ed's Sunday school lesson started. And finally, the third week, they didn't call, and we were relieved because we did not want them to call. And they just came.
Uh-oh.
And when I realized they were there, and I opened the door, I didn't even say hello. I just opened the door, like, come in.
Yep.
And they walked in, and Jackie made an announcement. We have a new tradition on Friday nights. And I thought, for the rest of my life, I have to eat pizza with these people and hear Ed's Sunday school lesson. Well, he got tired of memorizing all of that scripture and all those points. So he started bringing a Bible. And then one night, he prayed. That was unusual. But what people didn't know, except for me, was I had secret plans to leave my husband and leave my children. I was a feminist. I wanted my freedom. I didn't want to be encumbered with them. So my life was a basket case. all of a sudden, and it never occurred to me that God was trying to tell me something, I became anxious one day. And then I had a panic attack. And I was such an arrogant, prideful, angry person that I was not a nervous person, but I had this panic attack. Physically, I knew what was happening, but I didn't understand what was happening. And I just burst into tears. And I was, the world would have said I was having a nervous breakdown. And so I kept having panic attacks. My husband wanted me to go to a psychiatrist. I wouldn't go, because I said they're going to either put me in the hospital or put me on medicine. And then I'm going to jeopardize my nursing license and my job. And so and that was my ticket to freedom, too. So this went on for weeks, and I was drinking a lot more every day. The only time I didn't drink is when I was at work, because I had standards, and I would not drink. Plus, I didn't want somebody to kill somebody in the hospital, one of my students.
Oh, man.
So
now, at this time, Martha, had you mentioned that to anybody? Like, you were thinking about leaving your husband? Were you guys, like, arguing, fighting like cats and dogs?
Oh, no, it was a big secret.
Total secret.
I didn't tell anybody.
And now you're starting to have panic attacks, and you're thinking it might be associated to this conviction or just guilt of some
type? I looked at it as a disease model.
Okay.
I had an anxiety disorder, and I didn't know the Lord. I was lost as lost could be. But things came to a head in the summer when I didn't have to go to work, and then I got worse because I was drinking all day, every day. And my husband used to be an air traffic controller, and he worked shifts. And when he was working a midnight, evening shift one night, and the kids were asleep, I had been drinking a lot that day, and things just kind of came to a head for me. And it was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I thought about different options. One of them was to commit suicide. And I landed on that one, and that's what I was going to do. And I planned it out in great detail. But then I remembered that Katrina had said I was going to hell. And I thought, well, if she's right, then I really will be in a mess. So I didn't kill myself for purely selfish reasons.
Good for Katrina.
I know. And I told her, I said, you're famous. Everybody knows about you. But I went to bed and went to sleep. And the next day I woke up and I could think better. And I realized how close I came to death. And I decided my problem is I'm an alcoholic, which was one of my issues. And I'm just going to quit drinking. So I went downstairs. I poured out every drop of anything alcoholic we had, and I cold turkey quit drinking. And I thought I would go into withdrawal, but the Lord just spared me of that. And so anyway, Ed suggested that I start reading the Bible and read the Gospel of John. And so he said, just read the whole thing, just keep reading it. And so I started doing that. And then I started praying. And I asked God to take my anxiety away. We had built a house in Peachtree City. The builder had stolen a lot of money. So I wanted our money back. And then I asked for him to put our marriage back together. We were barely hanging on by a thread. So God didn't answer any of those prayers. But I don't know how many times I read the whole Gospel of John. But I read it a lot. Just, it was like the only thing I could do. And then one night, the kids were asleep. Sanford was at work. And I was reading the Gospel of John, and I got up into chapter 14, and where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but me." And that night, that dawned on me. I didn't realize at the time that God was enlightening his word to me. But I thought, well, he's claiming to be the only way to God. And I think that's true. I did. I thought that was true that night. Then he said, he told Philip, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Well, when I read that night, I went, oh, he's claiming to be God. I couldn't believe it. And I thought, well, I think that's true. Then I got down to the verse where he said, "You can ask anything in my name and I will do it." And I stopped reading. I said, that is not true. I've asked these three things and he won't do any of them. But then I read the whole verse the next time. "You can ask me anything in my name and that will I do if it's for the glory of the Father." When I read that, all of a sudden, it just, the sin and the guilt in my life, just, I came under such conviction. I was mourning and grieving over my sin. And I asked God, I started naming these sins. And then I would, after each one, I would say, "Forgive me." And then I went down, and when I couldn't think of anything else, then I said, "Now I understand that you are real and the scripture is true. I'm asking you to take my anxiety away. But whether you do or whether you don't," and I hesitated because I knew if he didn't, I would end up in a psychiatric hospital. And I said, "But whether you take it away or whether you don't, you decide how my life can glorify you the most." And then I pointed to where he said, "You can ask me anything in my name." And it was like, do you see what you wrote here? "In Jesus' name I'm praying. Amen." That was the moment that God saved me. And I didn't tell anybody what had happened because they already thought I was crazy. And so after about 2 weeks, I told Ed's wife, Jackie, I said, "I need to tell you a secret, but you can't tell anybody." And she said, "What?" And because she had heard some of my secrets. And I said, I whispered, I said, "I think God is real. The scriptures are true. Do you think I'm crazy?" And she laughed at me. She said, "No, we don't think you're crazy. We already knew." And I'm like, "How did you know? I didn't tell anybody." She said, "It's obvious." But I asked Sanford if he would start going to church with me, Sunday school and church. I said, "We might as well go to Ed's Sunday school class and save him the effort." And so we did. A few months later, then, in a men's meeting, the Lord saved him.
Wow. Well, praise the Lord. What an incredible testimony of God's mercy and his grace in your life.
Amen.
You were never expecting that to happen, and God brought it about at the time of your greatest need. He showed you Christ.
Right.
And extended that mercy to you through his word. Just reading the Gospel of John is really what brought you to a personal relationship with Jesus.
Exactly.
Well, Martha, thank you so much for sharing your testimony. Why don't you just kind of walk us through those early years of maturing as a Christian to where you became a ACBC certified counselor to where you wrote this book, The Excellent Wife. How did that progression happen?
Well, I never intended to be a counselor. I just wanted to be a ladies' Bible teacher. I wanted to be Kay Arthur because she teaches verse by verse.
That's right.
In fact, I figured that when she retired, I would take her place.
Hey.
And she's never going to retire.
She's still going.
Yes, she is.
Something about the name MacArthur. Just keep going. Just keep going.
Right. So anyway, we started going to a Bible church where the pastor taught verse by verse. One evening, and see, I didn't know any better, but one evening I got up and made an announcement in church that I was going to start teaching a ladies' Bible study on Tuesday morning. Come at 10 o'clock or whatever it was. the chairman of the elder board called me the next morning. He said, Martha, you can't just get up and make an announcement. You have to run it through the pastor and the elders.
And you said, but I'm a Christian feminist.
I can do whatever. I didn't know any better. So anyway, but that pastor really helped me. Mm-hmm. And looking back on the first 5 years of my salvation, I did quit my job. I was halfway through my master's degree in nursing at a big college in Atlanta. I wrote the dean a letter and said, I've become a Christian. The Lord Jesus is coming back, and I don't have time for this.
Wow.
Withdraw me from the program. So they did. They're still probably laughing about it.
Oh,
and every once in a while, I think, Lord, please come back.
Yep. So
when some of them are still alive. And so they're going to say, that's what she was talking about.
There you go.
Anyway, I started teaching a ladies' Bible study verse by verse. I would get the commentaries that my pastor, Howard Dial, told me to get. And he would answer all my questions and help me. And then one day, a young man, Lou Priolo, walked in our church. I didn't know who he was. I had heard that he had come back to start up the Atlanta Biblical Counseling Center.
Okay.
I didn't pay that much attention to him until he spoke one Sunday night on bitterness, and I was blown away. I didn't know that you could use the Bible in such a practical way.
Mm-hmm.
And it just rang true to me what he was saying. So we started taking his biblical counseling courses only because I wanted to be a better, more practical teacher. Toward the end of the three courses he taught, he asked me to become NANC certified as a biblical counselor.
Mm-hmm.
And come to work for him part-time counseling women. And I said, no, I'm not a counselor, I'm a teacher. And so he said, all right. Well, then he went behind my back to my husband and said, if you tell her to do it, she'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
So Sanford agreed with him and said, I will. He said, I really think you should try it. I think God has gifted you. So every time I try to get out of the biblical counseling movement, I get sucked back into it. At one point, I started working with Lou, and he just was teaching me so much. He said, find a book for the wives to help them in their marriages that we can use for homework. So I read all that was that I knew about that was popular out there, and I couldn't find anything that was not either psychologized or had a doormat wrong view of submission. And so I reported back to him, I've read this, this, and this, and it's not helpful, and we can't use it. And he said, well, why don't you develop a Sunday school class for ladies on these topics? He said, I will help you and give you guidance. And we can record those lessons and use those tapes for homework. And so back then you had to use tapes.
Right, yeah.
Some people don't even know what those are.
I know. I have to explain it to my kids.
So. Yeah.
but now I'm starting to forget what they are.
Yeah.
So anyway, we did that, and then we started duplicating them and using them for homework. One day, and Lou was using them for homework for the women he was counseling.
Yeah.
And one day Lou said, the Lord is powerfully using this material. And I said, I've noticed. And he said, well, you need to write a book. And I said, sure. I know how to do chemistry problems. I don't know how to write a book. And I put him off for a long time. And finally he went to my husband and my pastor then behind my back, and the three of them ganged up on me, and Sanford was the spokesperson. He said, I want you to write the Excellent Wife book. And I said, I don't know how to write a book, which was true. By this time, we had started a little Bible church in our area, and Ed Sherwood, our friend who witnessed to us all the time, was out of the Army, and he had gone to seminary, and he had become our pastor. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, I know how to write. I write really well. I'll teach you. And he has an undergraduate degree in English. Mm-hmm. And so he met with me for a year, every Tuesday afternoon for 2 hours, and he got me started.
Wow.
And he taught me how to write. Mm. And so the Lord has given me a lot of help in that process.
What a neat story, just seeing God's providence at work. Mm. And I think Lou knew there must not have been any books, or he would have assigned one to you.
Yeah,
no, he knew. He couldn't find one either.
Yeah, so you guys came up with your own resource. You had writing help from your pastor, theological help from Lou.
Right.
And then you taught that at a Sunday school class to ladies for several years before you guys tried to package it into the book?
Well, it took 3 years to write the book, and I was really working on it. Mm-hmm. I figured it would be the only book I would ever write. It was so long. There was 21 chapters in the book. What I did, I didn't know how to do stuff on the computer. So each chapter was a separate file. And when you take 3 years to write a book, I would change the format. I would change this and that. So when I got through, I asked my husband to just put it all together. He had to totally start over. He was so mad at me. He said, I forbid you to write another book unless you take a computer course.
Oh, my.
So he still talks about that. That was a long time ago.
Well, it's an amazing story to hear about how The Excellent Wife came to be. Now we know it to be kind of like the bedrock book for how to know and understand your role and responsibility as a Christian, but particularly as a wife, if God should give you the opportunity to be married, and how to live that out. It's just so well done, Martha. We've enjoyed looking through the table of contents and working through this book is what our goal is to do here in the weeks to come with this podcast. So thanks so much for just explaining to us how God saved you and how he came to use you to write this incredible resource that I know has touched many, many women's and men's lives.
Mm. Thank you, Adam.
I hope you were encouraged by hearing Martha's story. To those wives who want to be excellent before God, remember how God saved you and the high calling you have to compliment your husband and to support him and the male leadership in your church. This is how God established marriage and family from the beginning and how he established his church over 2,000 years ago. We pray you will be greatly blessed in your marriage and your church as you follow Christ according to his word. We hope you were blessed by the Care of Souls podcast. Please pray for us at 180 Ministries and the Masters University as we seek to edify the church and exalt Christ through biblical counseling that is faithful to Scripture. Consider supporting 180 Ministries financially so we can continue to bring you sound wisdom from God's Word on these everyday topics. Visit 180ministries.org to give online and send an email to info@180ministries.org with your feedback and any questions. We'd be grateful to hear how this podcast is helping you. And we look forward to having you join us on the next episode of the Care of Souls podcast as we discuss exemplary husbands and excellent wives.